Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Chattanooga versus the world is 55 minutes away at 2 o'clock. Jared Greenberg of NBA TV is going to join us at 1:30. He's as good a basketball guest as there is. We love getting him on the show. So that's 25 minutes out. We'll get a little preview of the Wizards and the Raptors. We're taking your calls at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067 on the Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener line. Stumbled into this. I went on Toronto radio this morning. They were asking us about the temperature in D.C., and I said, listen, fans now expect the Capitals to lose the series. There's a here-we-go-again feeling from the majority of this fan base. And they were talking about the fact, well, you guys have some good teams, the Nats, the Caps, the Wiz. I mean, it's a pretty good time, and it's true. I think we'll look back 10, 12 years from now. We'll be, first of all, very dejected and sad, and we'll look back and say, how was there no title? That is nonsense.
Just impossible.
But we'll long for these days. I promise you, you'd rather be a Nats fan than a Marlins fan this year. And I guarantee you, you'd rather be a Wizards fan right now than a Phoenix Suns fan. And I bet you'd rather be a Caps fan than an Arizona Coyotes fan, which is kind of what we're asking you on Twitter. Danny made the case he'd rather be irrelevant and not have a chance to fail in the playoffs, if he's going to fail in the playoffs, be bad, basically, than be good if you know you weren't getting out of the first couple rounds of the playoffs. And I just think that's insane. I guess it comes down to math for me. How many games do I get of the teams that I like?
Mm-hmm.
I get to watch the Caps at least three more times. I'm pumped about that. If they get swept, that's going to suck. It's going to break my heart. More so because I got to deal with S from people, honestly, than just because they got swept. But it all adds up. It's all part of the pile. It's the worst. But I get three more of these. And for the Wizards, I get at least four more ops to watch a basketball team that I like. For the Nats, I get five playoff games after they win the division. It's kind of a numbers game for me.
Now, to be clear, I'm not saying that I want the Nationals to go into the tank and be bad. I want to go try to win a World Series.
But
I want
you
championships.
Are saying you would rather them not make the playoffs this year and, let's say, go 79-83 than get to the playoffs and lose in Game 5.
Yes. I'd rather have just a mediocre or bad season with a purpose, like you're building something, than heartbreak. I can't do heartbreak anymore. So I've basically done that so many times, been through it so many times, whether it's the Redskins or the Capitals heartbreak all the way back from the 1980s when I was a kid. The amount of heartbreak, I don't have it anymore.
You don't enjoy—
I don't have it in me.
Going to Nats Park for a playoff game and the one time all year that feels like it should.
I'm not
for a
quite
big baseball
there
game.
Yet for the Nationals, but it's close. I mean, because
but you're saying you just said you'd rather them go sub 500 than go to the playoffs.
No,
and lose.
And
if
the
you know
and lose part.
Lose.
If it's going to be another unbelievable where it takes something that's never happened before. No one's ever given up a 6-run lead in a playoff game before until the Nationals did it in 2012. No one's ever had an inning like that fifth inning that the Nationals had that against the Cubs. It's taken staggering, unprecedented things for us to have our hearts ripped out as fans in this town. Because I've got enough of those in the bank, if you're telling me you're getting another one of those, I'll do anything to avoid that. Anything, even if it means my team's crappy and it's just me and Bob and FP in the yard.
This is weird, but I think this is actually a really good sign because you've forgotten what it's like to not cheer for good teams. You forgot how bad it is when your teams suck. When I'm sitting there charting on loose leaf notebook paper how many rebounds Pop Eye Jones has and how many points Rip Hamilton has.
Do I think Matt Chigo can make 30 starts?
Correct.
Yeah,
you have forgotten how bad that really is. Mike in King George, what's up?
Hey, hey guys, how you doing?
Good. Go ahead. You're on the radio.
First, I just wanted to let you know I'm repping King George for you, Grant.
My man. I appreciate that. It's the greatest county in the country.
Mr. Grand Marshal.
Second, you guys are both correct, right? I'm a Dolphins fan, but I've lived in the air for 20 years, so I have both going on, right? The Dolphins are irrelevant. I see no way that they're going to stop being irrelevant. So I watch their games, root for them, but not a big deal if they lose. If they beat the Patriots like, you know, they did recently, all right, great, not a big deal. But here, you do constantly have this chance of them doing something. They're going to win into the playoffs. they possibly could win like a World Series, or the Caps, you know, could win the Stanley Cup. And then I just know in this area, for whatever reason, it's just like, you know, Danny said, it's not going to happen. It hasn't happened. I just know there's always this, you know, inevitable failure coming up. So I don't get.
You can sense that, Mike. I mean, last night, as I mentioned, I'm watching the Caps game and then I'm watching late games in the playoffs. And the atmosphere in the arena at Capital One during a tied late third period was a library compared to what you see in the West Coast game later at night, or the night before in Los Angeles, the L.A. matchup where they lost a 1-0 game to Vegas, I guess it was.
Mm-hmm.
Nashville, same thing last night with Philip Forsberg. It is unrecognizable. And the reason is people are expecting and fearing the worst. And they go, we're about to give up a goal to lose, instead of going, it's okay, Philip Forsberg's about to score, we're about to win. Jonathan in Fairfax, what's up?
Hey, Jonathan.
Hey, guys. I like the last caller, think you're both right, but I'll say it from this perspective. I used to be a season ticket holder for the Bullets when they won a title. I've also been a Weber season ticket holder. I was a season ticket holder with Gilbert, and I was a season ticket holder for 4 years until 2 years ago. And I just got tired of the mediocrity of making the second round. The problem is with the Bullets or Wizards and with the Caps is Ted has a GM that has been there too long, and there's no creativity anymore from Ernie. Frankly, McClellan should have been fired. There was no reason to bring him in. He was part of the Caps mediocrity.
How do you figure that? I think he's done a great job with the
Caps. I'll tell you how. Because when you fail in the first round, or you lose that series like I went to when they got punked at home 5-0 to the Rangers a few years ago, that's a failure. McClellan was part of that. He worked with McVie.
He was the assistant GM.
You don't
GM.
Need to keep these guys around.
Well, I disagree with you on McClellan, because he took over as a general manager. He fixed their defense. They had an offseason where everyone said they were about to take a huge step back, and they won the division again because he reshaped the roster beautifully over the hiatus. I put a lot less of this on GMs than even coaches. And by the way, less of it should be put on coaches than players. It ain't Barry Trotz's fault that the Capitals can't win in the playoffs. They couldn't win with Boudreaux. They couldn't win with Trotz. They couldn't win with Hunter. They couldn't win with Oates. It's not Scott Brooks's fault when the Wizards get waxed by the Raptors in a couple days.
You go back
in history.
Because
they couldn't win with anybody else that's been on the bench either. And GMs have a lot less to do with it. You think Mike Rizzo could have done something to help the Nats in Game 5? He gave them a hell of a roster. Now, unfortunately, his manager didn't use the roster very well, because Howie Kendrick's sitting there looking at Jason Wirth lay eggs every single night in the playoffs for no reason. But you can't put this on the GM. Did he build a good roster or not? For 82 games, you have the best team in hockey a couple times over based on what he built.
Good process.
And I'm supposed to be upset with this guy? I can't agree with you there. I think it was a good call otherwise. Rob, Fredericksburg, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Love your show. How y'all doing?
Good, man. Good.
Hey, listen, we've got two separate things going on in D.C. The Washington Wizards and the Redskins, they're kind of one of those teams where it's under-promise and over-deliver. Like, the Skins were supposed to go, what, like 4-10 or 4-12 last year? They outdid that. It was nice to watch. That Kansas City game, the Oakland Raiders game, when they ran all over them, that was fun. But when you look at the Caps and the Nationals, it's like over-promise, under-deliver. You got Hall of Famers potentially on both those teams. I mean, Ovechkin's going to go down as one of the best hockey players of all time. And it's every single year, over-promise, under-deliver. How many times do you want to watch that? I mean, you look at Cleveland. I mean, I'd be excited if I was Browns fan. The rebuilding process
but
and
let me
stuff
ask
like
you
that.
This. So do you put more passion behind the Redskins or the Capitals, basically?
Probably the Redskins than the Capitals.
But
I
you understand that you're rewarding a worse product. You're rewarding a worse collection of executives, Bruce Allen among them, that have run a worse team, that have run a worse outfit, that have done a worse job building a roster, because you're tired of winning but not winning enough? I mean, it's basically what you're saying. 800-636-1067 is the number. More of your calls in a moment. Jared Greenberg, NBA TV at 1:30 on the Wiz and the Raptors. Got some breaking news on the Wiz right now. This is weird, and it's not necessarily going to help them. Phone lines are full, jam-packed. Grant and Danny, welcome back. 106.7 The Fan. Let's get right to the call so we can get as many of you on as possible before Jared Greenberg of NBA TV previews the Wizards and the Raptors. We're talking D.C. sports in the playoffs. Danny and I asking you guys, Basically just taking your temperature after last night's Caps loss, how you're feeling. We got into a discussion, posted a poll on Twitter about the self-loathing, and it's deserved, by the way. It's earned by these teams of beating down D.C. sports fans. Annual playoff teams in baseball, hockey, and basketball. But because nobody can break through, fans are checking out. Is this not better than bad teams and irrelevance? Danny would rather miss the playoffs than get there and lose early if he knew that was coming. I wouldn't. I want more games. I want the excitement of the playoffs. I want to go to the park and that feel that fun atmosphere and enjoy my teams playing in big games. Let's go to Matt in Reston. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Matt.
Hey, guys. So I have a tendency to agree with Grant, but I think that Danny makes a good point because I almost equate it to like having a girlfriend that you get married or you think you're going to get married and she leaves you at the altar. And then the next time you go out and you meet a girl and you go out on a date and you think things are going well and you pop the question and she says no. And it's like every single time like you think you found the perfect one. It's just heartbreak. At some point you're just going to say, why would I go through that again?
Understandable.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's just wanting to avoid that heartbreak because I've had it enough times where I'd rather just casually date if that means anything. And I've said this, and you may not believe me. I would, if I could turn in my fandom and not care, but casually about these teams that have given me so much pain, I would do that. Because to me, the only thing I can focus on is how much it hurts when they lose in the hardest way possible at the end. When the rug's pulled out from underneath me, when Lucy moves the football. I'd do anything I can to not feel that pain anymore. Anything.
What's interesting is eventually when one of these teams win, everyone gets to go to the parade. And that's part of my aggravation and annoyance as well.
Mm.
Like, if you're one of these people that's not going to watch the rest of the Cap series, let's say they came back and they got to the second round and they got to the cup somehow.
Then you get to pretend you were there when Mike Gartner was scoring 30 goals a year.
You shouldn't get to come. And honestly, I mean, sorry. You shouldn't. There's no way to legislate that.
I know.
Kevin in Arlington, how are you?
Hey, guys. Great topic. And I think I'm more like you, Grant. I don't want to suck. I want to be in the postseason. That's exactly why I was thrilled we went for the Alex Smith trade after we botched everything because there was no way I could envision the Redskins being
a
playoff
point.
Contender.
Do you want to stay decent and have a shot or do you want to be
right.
bad?
But to Danny's point, and if I may, if you indulge me for a minute, it's the excruciating quality of lacking grace under pressure in the way they do it. Like the Bartman game in Chicago with the Cubs, the Caps replicate that almost annually. If I could just go through last night, we got a 2-goal lead. You know, we disappear in the third period. We take 3 penalties, the third being the most egregious. There's penalties leave Ovechkin on the bench, and we gag in overtime. Grubby isn't stellar. And, oh, by the way, as you follow the rest of the NHL last night, who's starring in Nashville last night in the third period? That's right, Philip Forsberg.
That's the left to the Kennedy there.
Of this team, with Philip Forsberg, has more talent than Pittsburgh, okay? And could possibly be the one guy to add to the mix that gets us over the top. So when I see Philip Forsberg and Poyle doing so well in Nashville, and then when I see McPhee, who did the Forsberg trade, have the year he had in Vegas, and yet we had last night again as a Caps fan.
Oh, it's unbelievable. But in fairness, Kevin, and you didn't point this out, so I've got to. Last night, Marty Erat and Michael Latta combined for 4 points for the Capitals. So you should point that out as well.
You got to be fair.
What?
Oh, wait.
Oh, that didn't happen. It's a good phone call. And you're right. That was a baseball bat to the ribcage. At Philip Forsberg. By the way, did you see his goal?
Yeah.
Between his legs?
I did.
So many dangles, so sick. Ben Burtonsville, what's up?
Benjamin.
Ben, you're on the radio.
Yeah, hey, how you doing? You know, I never thought I'd say I'm an old person, but I grew up in the 60s with the Senators and the Nationals, and in baseball, you only had one thing, a World Series.
Yep.
And my attitude has always been, it's bonus, man. I like watching the Senators and now the Nats and the Redskins, and playoff game is just bonus time to see them play some more. And if I lose, you know what? I'll go out and I'll play softball with my friends and I'll wait for next season.
Appreciate you, buddy. You are kinder even than I am, I'd say,
yeah.
In terms of, but I'm way closer to you than Danny, who is a fit in waiting, if I can say that. Like,
yeah.
Breaking things around him and may or may not watch the game depending on how angry he gets at this one. Or not even you, but just people like that do that. I'm closer to him. Mm-hmm. I'm closer to, well, we got a few more games. Why not? Which is a loser mentality, but I'm a loser, baby. Why don't you kill me? I'm
Seriously,
back.
We've been doing that.
I've been a loser for a while.
26
Peter
years
and McLean, how's it going?
It's going well, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hey, I agree with Danny. You know, irrelevant and bad is preferred over good and disappointing. And the reason being is that it's comforting. Going back to the gentleman who said about managing expectations, you know, if I know we're going to be bad, I'm not disappointed. I understand it. I use the Redskins as that example. We know what to expect of them. So when they over-deliver, we're happy. When they under-deliver, well, we expected it, so I'm not disappointed.
Thanks, buddy. Jordan, Falls Church, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Jordan.
So, okay, this is something, first of all, I did not get a lot of sleep last night. I went to my girlfriend after the game. I said, I told her what happened. She goes, oh, but it's a seven-game series,
oh,
right?
Oh, it drives me crazy.
I just started laughing. Anyways, I really
Same
think.
Same convo last night, me too.
That fans, when we get into situations like we got into last night, they look to the leaders on the team. And I heard a quote from Backstrom that I was like, all right, series hasn't started, but we're going to lose. He goes, well, it couldn't get any worse. And then you look at Ovechkin last night, like referring to the playoff failures. And then you look at Ovechkin last night, hey, buddy, you might as well not play if you're going to play like that, just not tearing at all. Gersich is sitting in the press box, and he wants to play. And if Ovechkin's going to sit there and not care at all, let me tell you a funny stat that I heard. How many overtime game winners does he have in the playoffs? Zero. I don't think he thinks we can win. I out of his body language, he seemed to care more when he was chasing 50 than when he's chasing a cup 9 of 12 years that he's been here.
Well, look, I will agree with that. He was more energetic in the game where he was gunning for 50 than he was last night. I thought he had a very, very pedestrian game. I thought it was a bad performance at times. He had a couple of nice rushes where he put pucks on net. He had 4 shots, 2 hits in the game. But he was not good. We said that at the start of the
yeah,
show.
Yeah, that was a good
one
point.
Of my big takeaways last night, and there were a couple moments. You know, Brooks Orpik didn't clear out the net at one point on a goal from Vanek. The couple of things I didn't like. But Ovechkin was not good. Statistically, he's one of the great playoff point accumulators in the history of the sport. He has largely been great in the playoffs. If he plays like that again in game 2, we got a big storyline on our hands. And that's a major problem. My guess is that he won't. But I agree with you. You need a lot more out of him. And maybe you do need to go to the younger, you know, scrappier, hungrier guys. Now, Ovechkin's going to get his 25 minutes, and he should, on nights where they get a bunch of power plays. But if you want to go Gersich over somebody else because you think he was in college 2 weeks ago, he doesn't
Sign
know any different.
Sign me up.
Why not? He doesn't know about the D.C. sports downtrodden years.
Work for Pittsburgh. You just throw guys, teenagers in there. Doesn't matter.
B.J. Manassas, how are you?
What's up, guys? I'm all D.C., except I'm a diehard Orioles fan. And I got to stick with Danny on this one. Watching Zach Britton sit in the bullpen in 2016 in the playoff wild card game absolutely ripped my heart out. And it makes you angry. And I'd just rather miss the playoffs.
But you got big moments in that game, too. You know, where you're sitting there. I remember watching that game. We had a little watch party at the house. I had a few people over. And some of my favorite memories of that Orioles season are that play-in game with the Blue Jays where Mark Trumbo in the fourth inning hit a 2-run home run and we're screaming and high-fiving. That doesn't mean anything to you that you got that moment? I mean, that play-in game against Texas, they would lose a series later against the Yankees where, shockingly, Joe Saunders threw a good game and they got into the playoffs for the first time in years and years. You wouldn't take that moment that night where I'm sipping champagne with my buddies who have never seen them play in a playoff game and enjoy it so that you could lose to the Yankees the next round? I think that's crazy.
Yeah, but I think we had a shot against the Yankees, too. And in that game a few years before 2012, and Robert Andino hits one into the bullpen against the Rangers and stuff like that, those were hype moments, too. But like I said, when you still go on and lose, I went to the ALCS when they played the Royals in 2014. You know,
that Tigers game, though, with Delmon Young hitting a double down the line at Camden Yards? You forget the great moments that are some of your favorite memories as a sports fan ever when you give a hug to your dad or your brother, whoever's next to you. You just remember getting eliminated. But some of those other moments are some of the great moments I've experienced as a sports fan with the Caps, with the Nats, with the Wiz, with the Redskins along the way. The Michael Taylor Grand Slam against Chicago, the virtuoso Strasburg performance. Those are things I'll never forget. albeit they didn't get them where they had to go.
Sure. Jason Worth's homer was great.
Yeah.
So was the 6-0 lead. And then it went away. And then it went away.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Jared Greenberg of NBA TV next.
Folks, Danny Rubier for my guys at Ted Britt Ford. Make a play. Make the best play you can make. You owe it to yourself to check out Ted Britt. Prices? You can't beat them. Best selection of new Fords that you will find in this area. Best first-class facility. It's a great, great, great service facility. I love it there. It's awesome. They get you in and get you out. They know your time is valuable, so they will get you on your way quickly. The best buying experience I've ever had. I've been around, man. I've bought a bunch of cars. Bought in a bunch of cars. Best experience I had, Ted Britt Ford. Right now, you get some pretty good deals at Ted Britt Ford. Check these out. 120% Kelley Blue Book value for your trade. That's just to get things moving. 2018 F-150, lease one, just $235 a month. That is a splendid deal. 2018 Ford Explorer, you can do 0% APR for 60 months plus $500 customer cash. Or you can buy one outright, $24,500. Boom, goes the dynamite, passes to the man. 2018 Ford Escape, lease one for just $199 a month. Or the Explorer, 2018, just $325 a month. Go see my guys at Tempered Ford, Perfection. And when you do, please.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Nice little weekend ahead, playoff-wise, in Washington, D.C. We got the Wizards and the Raptors on Saturday. The Caps back in action against the Jackets on Sunday. Jared Greenberg covers the NBA for NBA TV. We love having him on the show. He is smart. He makes us smarter, and he brings energy and passion to the airwaves, which we love. He's on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Jared, let's talk a little Wiz Raptors here. We've been watching you on NBA TV. I've been hearing you on SiriusXM NBA. Tell me why this Raptors team's different, why they can go deeper, why they're better than those that came before them.
I appreciate you guys having me on. Exciting time of the year. Looking forward to getting a close look at the Wizards as I cover the Wizards and Raptors series. I think this Raptor team is completely different. They're better. They're deeper. They're more talented. They have done a better job of utilizing their talent. DeMar DeRozan's always been known as one of the best scorers in this league, but they finally got it through to him this past summer that you don't have to make life as difficult on yourself to create offense. And, last year, DeMar DeRozan was right up there with the likes of Carmelo Anthony as guys who were taking the most contested shots. And, you can argue whether you're into analytics or not, but the numbers were basically saying, yeah, you're getting to the foul line a lot, but while you're doing that and you're taking shots with two and three guys around you, you're leaving guys wide open out in the perimeter. So what the Raptors did this year to convince DeRozan that it was worth his consideration to take less contested shots was surround him with guys that could shoot threes. So while you're seeing DeRozan shoot more threes, you're also seeing him find more shooters. And this team plays with a lot more pace, less isolation. They're passing the ball more, a whole lot of assists. You'll see 20 and 30 assist games. And their youth has really stepped up. Now, is that youth ready for this big moment? I'm not sure yet. We'll certainly find that out. But they're a lot deeper and way more talented than they have been in years.
Jared Greenberg with us. He'll be reporting on TNT and NBA TV's coverage of the Wizards-Raptors series with Game 2 on NBA TV Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Jared, Grant and I have been railing against this. The Wizards are doing a thing where they go, oh, we meant to do this all along. We really wanted Toronto, which I can't believe. I don't know when you started to want them. It was, when you dropped the game to Atlanta you shouldn't have, or when you were playing hard against Boston. I think it's just lip service, but let's just take them at face value. Why would they want Toronto? You just touched on it. Are they still confident from a couple of years ago when Paul Pierce was playing the four? What gives there?
Listen, the Wizards have done a lot of talking over the years. And, once I get up there to Toronto myself, I'll be talking to as many people in and around the Wizards organization to get the story firsthand myself. But here's the bottom line. The Wizards have underachieved this year. They have obviously faced a lot of injuries, and now the breaking news that's coming out that Jody Meeks is going to be suspended, and they're bringing on Ty Lawson. There's a lot that goes on around this team. It's time to just stop talking and start winning. And listen, they have the talent. I think, you know, I have the utmost respect for John Wall and Bradley Beal. I think they're stand-up guys. I enjoy being around them and talking with them. I think Scott Brooks is a really good coach. They're in a very interesting situation here. You should never want to play the number one seed in the conference. That should not be your goal when the Wizards should have been a top four team in this conference. But now you got to go up and play. If you believe it, you know, that, and I haven't heard it, but if you believe that what you're saying is true, that this is what the matchup they wanted, all right, then go out and prove it. You know, the talk last year that the Cavs were ducking them. Come on now. Like, LeBron James doesn't care who he plays, when he plays them, or where he plays them. He's just going to go out and play. And so far, he's proven over the last 7 years, he's going to come out of the East no matter what. The Wizards need to start doing the same. They can erase all of the issues that they've had during this season, whether it be the talking, the injuries, the adversity, whatever it may be. They can erase that by going and stunning the basketball world and beating the Raptors. Just go do it.
Jared Greenberg of NBA TV on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Jared, here's where I got to disagree. Yeah, you should stop talking if you haven't really done anything. But when you've won three straight titles like the Wizards have, and you've never lost a playoff game with Wall and Beal at the controls in the backcourt, I got no problem with talking because they walk. Wait, hold on. I'm being told they haven't won a finals yet. They act like the Warriors, dude. They have for a few years. They talk about a switch they can hit. There were the comments about LeBron in Cleveland wanting to avoid them. Then he almost hung 60 on them the next day. This is what we've been dealing with for a couple of years here. It's weird.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And I'd love to see him just put it together. It's unfortunate that they're going to have the excuse this year of, oh, well, you know, the Raptors were the best team in the East. So, you know, this is a tough matchup. The problem is you shouldn't have put yourself in a position to face the Raptors. Listen, I'd love for a long series. I'd love for it to be competitive. And I think the Wizards have the talent. If you're the Raptors, this is not the team you want to face. But at the same time, you're facing the 8 seed. Let's be real about the 8 seed in any year, in any conference, at any time. You're the 8 seed for a reason, because you've been consistently inconsistent. And now the Wizards, again, as I said, they have an opportunity to wipe all that away and say, okay, let's flip the switch, prove it. You know, that's the great difference between professional sports and college sports. There's no rankings. There's no polls. It's winning and losing. Go win 4 games over seven games and prove to us that you're a better team, and then we'll do all the talking for you.
At Jared S. Greenberg on Twitter, quite simply, must follow if you care about hoops. Jared, let's get into some of the matchups here. Who are some names? I think the two stars in the backcourts kind of cancel each other out on both squads, different, you know, skills and pluses and minuses there. Where is this going to come down to, in your opinion? Are the Wizards going to go small with Markieff at the five? Is it Otto Porter, his health, or is it some of these young wing players off the bench from Toronto that we were talking about earlier? Where do you think the matchup is going to kind of really break down?
Well, you know, for the Wizards, I don't think I'm breaking any news to you or to your listeners. I think it's probably the same conversation that we've had the last 3 years. It's, you know, are you going to define that third star as one person, or are you going to continue to try and sell us that you can do it by committee? Now, listen, as the 8 seed, typically that third person is by committee, and that's the reason why you're the 8 seed. But if you're going to go and shock Toronto, and you're going to go maybe even beyond that and you know, win a second round series and get to the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time with this group, then it's probably going to be one person who rises up. So is it going to be Otto Porter? Is he going to stay healthy? Is it going to be Kelly Oubre? Is he going to get out of the doghouse that he's been in with Scott Brooks? Or is it going to be Markieff? Or, you know, what are they going to get out of Gortat? Is Yan Mahimi going to see the court, you know, for which they signed him for before last season? Who is going to be that person on a consistent night-in, night-out basis? That's probably how you're going to get past the Raptors. And listen, let's not overlook, and I know you kind of said the backcourts cancel each other out, but they have to be great. And that goes for both teams. DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry have to be great, regardless of what happens with that third or fourth option. Wall and Beal have to be great, regardless of what happens with that third or fourth option. And then you get into, okay, if they both are great, then is it Porter? Is it Oubre? Who's it going to be? And then for the Raptors, I think for them, it's going to see, are these young guys who have been so good ready for this moment?
Jared Greenberg, always great with us, getting us ready for the playoffs. He's going to be reporting on TNT and NBA TV's coverage for Wiz Raptors. Game 2's on NBA TV Tuesday night at 7 East. TNT's going to air more than 40 NBA playoff games, the most of any network, beginning with a triple header Sunday. That's this weekend, April 15th, concluding with exclusive coverage of the 2018 Western Conference Finals. Jared, thanks so much for joining us, buddy. We really appreciate it.
Grant, Danny, always a pleasure, man. I'm sure I'll speak to you guys soon.
Thanks, pleasure, Jared. Be well, dude.
Enjoy the postseason. There's Jared Greenberg. We'll wrap up the show. Look ahead to the weekend. Caps, Wiz, Nats, all with games the next couple of days. You're listening to The Fan. If you need to pick me up after a tough Caps loss and a tough 45 minutes of discussion about DC sports here on Grant and Danny, go to my Twitter account at Grant H. Paulson for a picture of me sitting on Jim Mullen's lap telling him what I want for Christmas. He, of course, is one of the producers for Chad Dukes versus the World. You can hear CDVTW at 2 o'clock today, 12 minutes away.
Indeed, so busy weekend, whether we want it to be or not. Nats in action, the early season stuff. Three more against the Colorado Rockies. Scherzer and Strasburg will pitch, which means maybe the Nats have a chance to win a couple of these. But the big ones, of course, Wizards Saturday, Capitals Sunday. Wizards get underway 3 p.m. in the Great White North of Toronto. That is a full slate of NBA games on the 14th, starting San Antonio, Golden State, 3 o'clock. Washington, Toronto, Miami, Philadelphia, New Orleans, and Portland is your nightcap. But a big NBA slate to get you started for the weekend. It's one of my favorite sports weekends of the year. I love the wall-to-wall NBA playoffs.
I'm not sure that you made your prediction on the show yesterday. I said Raptors in six. What are you going with?
Actually, I have the exact same. I think Raptors in six. Yeah, I think a lot of the tough talk will be erased tonight, and then they'll realize they're in a scramble for it, and it's too late because you've got a really steep gradient here going on the road and beating the number one seed that's deeper and better than they've been, and you've got less reinforcements. You've got no wing players and five point guards. You don't have Jody Meeks, a backup shooting guard. To me, the Wizards are in more trouble than they realize.
Toronto, to me, is going to be waxed in the second round if they get there. I've said this a lot ad nauseum. I probably need to stop talking about it. But to me, they're better than the Wizards. If they lose to Washington in the first round, then they were just a fraud. The Wizards are ripe for the picking.
Agreed.
Wall is not quite in normal rhythm. Otto Porter is not quite 100%, third best player on their roster probably. And they just have not defensively committed and engaged the way that they need to. You've got guys like Kelly Oubre coming in cold in terms of shooting. You got Markieff Morris, who hadn't quite been last week or so what you normally want him to be as well. So I think you got a team that you should be able to eliminate in five or six games if you're Toronto in advance without much of an issue. So that series gets started tomorrow. Caps game two against the Jackets. This is very simple now, Danny. You can't
gotta
go down
it, right?
0-2.
Yeah, got to have it.
You cannot go to Columbus needing to effectively split to get back to Washington 2-2. Remember last year they were down 2-1 to the Leafs. And that was a little bit scary at that time. You go into that game four and it was a must-have and they won and they turned the series around. But this is very different. If you win and you go to Columbus and it's 1-1, I will feel like, okay, everything's back on track and they're the favorites to win this series again.
Mm-hmm.
If they're down 2-0, both of those losses at home, at that point,
hard to feel great,
not
right?
Not quite over, but it's 65-70% over.
So before we started this series, I said I thought they'd lose game one. Now, I thought it would go completely differently than it did. I didn't see blowing two-goal lead and 91 minutes of power play time reversed. I thought they would be an early soft goal. They wouldn't be able to catch up. It'd be frantic, and Bobrovsky would stand on his head. Didn't go that way. I still think the Caps win this series. And maybe that's naive and stupid, but I still feel that way. I feel like they've kind of will have a better idea of what to do against Columbus, who's going to try to pin the puck deep. There'll be more breakout plays available, whether it's Jacob Vrana or somebody else with speed. I think you can punish Columbus for wanting to get down below that blue line.
Let me play devil's advocate because I do agree with you. But
go ahead,
in terms of having a better idea, they were up 2-0 last night.
Yeah.
And they were up 3-2.
Yeah, they were.
All you had to do was finish what you started.
And it's a little bit less of the Alexander Semin-esque terrible stick penalties from maybe Kuznetsov. Maybe don't do that. Maybe don't slash the guy.
That was bad.
Maybe don't do that.
He had a heck of a game. He was so good offensively, and then he gets into this jousting match behind the play when Columbus is trying to draw a penalty for a power play,
yeah.
And you say, well, sure, you want 2 free minutes to try to tie the game.
Would you guys like that?
You want that?
Maybe my advice, I'm a novice. I just watch hockey. I would say don't do that.
Burakovsky and Wilson both gave them the gift of 2 minutes of an extra man as well. They
indeed,
scored two power play goals. They tie the game twice and then eventually won it. In overtime. Lastly, the Nats upcoming this weekend. 3 more against the Rockies, who beat them last evening. They're under 500 at 6-7 now. Colorado tonight. Tanner Roark gets the ball tomorrow and Sunday. Both day games, 105, 135, respectively. I believe we've got a Scherzer-Strasburg weekend ahead.
That is the piece. They won't go against the Mets, unfortunately, later on. But they'll throw this weekend, and it's needed now. Yeah.
This is a really good lineup, so I don't have a huge problem because you need some wins.
Yeah.
So ideally, you take two of these next three, and you can get back over 500 going into that series with the Mets.
Did a little bit of digging during one of the commercial breaks earlier on. Less worried about Zim breaking out of this because he's had comically low batting average on balls and plays, up there with some of the league leaders in line drive percentage. Like, other guys that are hitting the way that he's hitting are hitting 400 on balls and plays. Zim's at 111. That has to equalize. It's got to change. More worried, though, about Trey Turner and Michael A. Taylor. Less Trey, but Taylor especially.
Taylor, this is who he's been his whole career, but last year.
Not much sharp contact, a lot of weak ground ball contact, a low percentage of line drives, low percentage of balls driven. Worried about that. Worried about Turner, too, that maybe there was some figuring out by some of the teams in the postseason, and that's carrying over. Maybe he's got too much to worry about. But some troubling signs early from him. Just terrible luck for Zim.
Lastly, a lot of people are tweeting us asking for our thoughts on Dez Bryant. You want to grab the podcast that broke while we were on the air. We talked quite a bit about that right after noon. You can go to thefandc.com, grantanddanny.com/audio. Cliff notes, I'm not interested in Dez Bryant. He has told the Cowboys he wants to play them twice a year. He retweeted someone saying that they think he's going to sign with the Giants, the Cowboys, or the Eagles, the Redskins, or the Giants. I hope it's New York or Philly. I'm not going to be furious if they sign him, but it's not a guy necessarily I want in the locker room. No thanks.
I don't want him. I also don't want to face him because I can't stand him. He's going to throw the X up in a big situation against Washington. No thank you. But I don't want him. I'm with you. It smells, I'll tell you, a couple people, like Will Blackman, think it's going to happen, talking about the Redskins and, really? And Dallas.
Did he tweet that or something?
He did. He was going back and forth with J.P. Finley. I think the reason is Bruce and Dan love to, quote, stick it to the Cowboys. They think that's somehow
they
doing
also
it
love
by taking their trash.
Signing former Cowboys who aren't going to be that productive.
Yeah, they love taking Cowboys recycling and turning it into their own pieces.
Chad Dukes versus the world comes your way next on the Fan. He's with you from 2 to 6:30 today, Nationals baseball. At that time, remember, it's Sean Doolittle bobblehead night. So if you're going to the ballpark,
yes,
plan accordingly.
Get your bobblehead. The lines will be fast and furious like those movies about being fast and furious. For Dar, Don, Grant, Danny, PDBCW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.